Good afternoon, Nevada Shooters. It's Saturday, I don't know, 3 o'clock-ish in the afternoon, something like that. I don't pay attention.
Are you tired or something?
Yeah, I'm a little wore out, a little bit this morning. You worked us hard last night. We did that photo shoot.
I know, for Las Vegas Tactical Company. And
yep.
I was at the studio until 12:30 last night.
Holy crap, were you?
Yeah.
I left at what, 9?
Yeah.
9:30? 10? No, I left at 10.
Yeah, well, there was...
What were you doing there?
We had a couple other ideas that we wanted to shoot with one of the other models, and then I got to talking to a couple of the people, and by the time I got all cleaned up, it was 12:30.
Well, let me tell you, these two models we had last night, Cassie and Tawny, holy cow. Talk about... Look, these girls...
They're talented.
They're smoking hot.
They're talented.
They are. These girls are unbelievable. I have never... felt older or creepier in my life being a part. I tell you what, I felt way over my head last night.
You killed it. It was a good shoot.
You're going to have to admit, you have to show me the proofs because I felt such an underachiever. I mean, here I am with these two quasi-professional smoking hot models. And, you know, I'm this old bearded guy with a plate carrier and an
full
M4.
Battle rattle.
I'm like, I'm out of my league. My daughter's giving me crap about it.
She
doesn't like it. Yeah,
I saw that.
She posted on Facebook. I don't like this because I put that one picture up.
Well, you know, my youngest, she always asks me when I come back from a shoot. She's like, "Dad, are all the pictures appropriate?" So I always have to say, "Yeah, everything's
sure. They're always appropriate.
Everything's above board."
Yeah.
So my daughter keeps a tighter leash on me than my wife does when it comes to that sort of thing.
Robin saw them last night. She saw the one pic that we took on my phone. She didn't say anything. I showed it to her because I want to be honest. You know, hey, you know, we were up with two models last night and what's going on with it. So I showed her the picture and she just kind of looked at it. And I think she was just really tired because I woke her up when I came home.
Nice.
And she's like, okay, here, hand me the phone back. That was the end of it. So I'll revisit that issue today.
You know, that Daniel defense rifle I picked up a couple weeks ago?
Uh-huh.
Not only is it an awesome shooter, but it photographs so well. I was looking at some of the photos last night and... It looks awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait to see him. I hope it turns out because it's like, here's my concern. I don't want this company to look at the two girls and go, oh my God, this is the most awesome thing I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
And then look at the ones with me in it and it kind of ruin it for them.
No.
No. We'll see.
You're a tactical male model. You brought your A game last night.
I hope so. I don't know. I wasn't feeling it. You know, speaking of modeling, shooters, listen up.
Oh.
You need to go to all you Facebookers and Instagrammers. Do me a favor. Go to Facebook. Look up Gun Bros, GUNBROS 2016. That's who they are on Facebook. You need to check that out. They're developing a 2016 male shooters calendar. It's to draw attention to the sexualization of men in the gun industry. Look, ladies, why should you monopolize all the photos in the gun industry with your bikinis and such and all these hot chick photos with guns, girls with guns, all those other sites? Look, guys, it's our turn. There's a photograph of me that Ben killed it.
It's awesome.
It's awesome. It's on the Facebook. I'll put it up on our Nevada Radio Facebook page. What did we coin the phrase? What was it? The tactical what?
Tactical boudoir.
Tactical boudoir. It's like boudoir except for dudes. So go to the Gun Bros Facebook page, scroll down, find my picture, like it. Get me in that calendar and showcase Ben's outstanding photographic work. Sean, have you you've seen the photo?
I'm looking at it right now, actually.
You're turning
on, voted?
Aren't you?
I'm puking in my mouth.
Get out of here. That's an awesome photo right there. Lounging. I'm on a Chase lounge with a come hither look.
All right. Yeah. I just liked the photo.
Nice work.
Out of peer pressure.
Come on now. Whatever. You're like it. You've got that as your screensaver. I saw it.
Yeah, it would be Ronald Reagan or Gary Underhill.
Yes. There's no choice there. It's obvious.
You're right. Ronald Reagan is a choice.
Come on now. Put Ronald Reagan on Chase Lounge and you'd vote for him, wouldn't you?
Possibly, yes.
So anyway, go to the – listen, help us out. Help a brother out. Showcase Ben's work. And the calendars, once they're developed, it goes for a really good cause. They're benefiting first responders lost on the line of duty. So it's for fun, and it's also for a really good cause. So check that out, and I'll put that photo up on the Armed Nevada Radio page later. Ben, what are we talking about today?
You know, we've got quite a bit, as always, right? I think we talked about the rate of information that is coming out about, you know, gun rights and gun violence and all this other stuff. Kind of a busy week. There's, you know, some bad news and there's some good news and there's just some news that I think is worthy of us discussing. I saw this morning, I thought you'd get a kick out of this, and we've actually talked about this topic. So Sheriff Joe Arpaio down there in your neck of the woods.
Yep, I remember him well.
Sheriff Joe. He just acquired 400 AR-15s to distribute to deputies to carry on and off duty.
What?
Yeah.
God bless him. Are you serious?
So he unveiled 400 Smith & Wesson M&P-15s that...
Wow.
Arrived Monday afternoon, were purchased through RICO funds, and should any off-duty deputy come across a crime being committed, it is the policy of this office that the deputy is to take appropriate action and resolve the situation, Sheriff Joe said.
Holy smokes, that's huge. Good for him.
Well, so I'm all for it, you know, because we need more armed citizens, and I think when we empower law enforcement and armed citizens to be able to intervene in situations, I think it's for the betterment of society, because when we talked about like lone wolf terrorist attacks and those kinds of things,
right,
the only thing that's going to stop those guys is an armed citizen or an off-duty cop, because not very often are on-duty cops around when we need them.
Oh, no. I can tell you from experience, we were rarely Johnny on the spot.
But here's the thing that I thought you and I have talked about before is the relevance or the, what's the word I'm looking for? The AR in the trunk. You know, you and I oftentimes when we go out, there's an AR-15 not far away from where we're at.
Right.
How easy is it, though, to put that into the fight?
Well,
how relevant is that for the types of things that we train for as armed citizens?
I got the perfect answer for that. Here's the answer. It's not. It's not easy. When the sheriff's office in Carson, when we first started carrying patrol rifles, we had to carry them in the trunk,
yep,
in a bag, or in a case.
Right.
If I had to get that gun out in a fight, I had to get to the trunk first to get the gun out,
yep,
and respond with it. Imagine trying to do that under fire. It's not happening. So they finally we finally pitched it and got them to agree to purchase racks to put the rifles in the cars.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I violated policy. I kept my AR in the front seat with me. It wasn't in a rack, but it was between the seat and the radio console, and it was right there. Because I can't get that rifle out under fire if it's in the trunk of the car.
But I'm just thinking, you know, as an armed, let's say I'm going to lump off-duty officers and armed citizens into the same group for this discussion. You know, if we go to Meadowood Mall and, you know, let's say our gun is in a gun drawer in the trunk, or it's in, you know, it's locked down, and we go into the mall and there's an active shooter, I'm not running back out to the car to grab the AR and then run back in.
Well, here's the other thing too, the problem that arises with, you know, carrying an AR-15 for a self-defense implement. You know, the M4 or the AR-15 in an urban environment is probably not your best choice, because you're talking about a ball round, or if you're carrying green tips,
right,
that's traveling at, you know, upwards, the bigger rounds, upwards of 4,000 feet per second.
Right.
I mean, you're going to kill 8 people with that thing. And it's not, except in combat, it's not a very appropriate street weapon. It's a surgical tool.
Well, and I'm thinking, you know, so if I run out to my car, I open the trunk, I grab my AR, I'm going to look exactly like an active shooter.
Oh, sure you are.
And
yeah,
even if I, you know, so I normally carry body armor in the trunk too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have police written on the back of my...
No, you don't have a big patch in the back emblazoned saying police or sheriff or a special agent or anything like that.
So for the most part, I don't know how relevant the AR-15 is as an off-duty weapon.
Well, it's...
Unless you've got a plate carrier with police.
And they probably do.
I'm
sure these guys do. And you got to understand, too, that these guys are highly trained. They've gone through all the active shooter training again and again and again, usually once a year now. So I'm confident that if an off-duty officer employs an AR or an M4 or an MP5, that he's going to use it as a surgical tool that is designed to be used for. He's not going to spray and pray.
Right.
So that really doesn't concern me too much. The average citizen, yeah, that bothers me. I'm not saying they shouldn't possess it and they can't have it, absolutely. But
I just don't think it's a great tool for you and I in a typical situation. Like if suddenly the society collapsed while we're here,
right.
I'm going to be glad I have
it. Yeah, an SHTF situation.
Right. But if, you know, someone walks into the mall or someone walks into Walmart, it's not a tool that...
No, because you're not identifiable.
And even if we're driving along and I see some guy, you know, ripping into his wife physically, I'm not going to stop and pull out the AR to intervene in that.
Not.
You know, that's... I don't know. So, you know, then we can talk about DeKalb County when we come back because they made another policy change as it relates to off-duty weapons.
Right on. Well, we're up against a break. We're going to be right back after this. Armed Nevada Radio, 107.3 FM KNews. And we're back, Armed Nevada Radio, with Ben and Gary. And, Ben, you've got something there about DeKalb County, about the sheriff's office or the police in DeKalb County?
Yeah, so we just talked a little bit about Sheriff Joe Arpaio ordering AR-15s to be carried on and off duty. So this county outside of in Alabama, DeKalb County, sheriff is changing his policy. He's ordering all certified deputies to carry a concealed weapon on them at all times while off duty.
Prior to that, I can tell you what their policy probably in all likelihood was that carrying off-duty was an option. So
right.
Now they're making a policy that they must carry off-duty.
County officials ordered 55 Glock 43 handguns. So the little Glock 43 single stack 9mm. So they're ordering them off-duty guns to carry as well as their duty handguns. So
Good. That's a proactive decision. I applaud them. Good for them. I'm sure a lot of those guys were carrying off-duty previously to that anyway. So now they've just got a free off-duty gun.
And then not only that, they're paying for the deputies to go through certification classes designed for backup weapons and concealed carry.
Wow.
That's pretty strong.
Wow. I wonder who they're going through for that. DeKalb County. Where's that at? That's in...
Alabama.
Okay. I got a buddy of mine that I was in Iraq with. It's a cop. I think he's a cop in DeKalb County. I'll have to hit him up and see if he
give him a call.
Knows about that.
Find out how they're training or what they're doing for that.
All right, we're gonna bring up kind of some old news, but for some reason it's coming back to the forefront.
It's not
again.
Old because it's the anniversary. Was that 2 days ago
of Katrina?
Yeah,
the Katrina incident. And well, I call it the incident. What bring us up to date? What happened following Hurricane Katrina?
Well, so kind of funny. So back when this happened, I wasn't a gun person. Mm-hmm. Wasn't in the life yet, so to speak.
You hadn't been drawn in.
That's right. The life hadn't chose me yet. So, you know, when it happened, I think this highlights the frustration that many of us now feel is it wasn't that big a deal to me at the time.
Yeah,
but now 10 years later, it pisses me off.
Yeah, and what happened was the law enforcement and the National Guard were deployed to the towns and cities around where Katrina had hit and where the affected towns. And they were going door to door, actually vacating the town, ordering people to leave, and entering their homes without warrant,
right,
without probable cause, seizing their weapons, detaining them.
And then not only that, so not going through due process to take weapons, but then not issuing receipts in most cases.
Right.
So there was no way for them to recover
and
property.
They lost big on that because the NRA sued.
Good.
And the NRA was successful, and the law enforcement, National Guard were ordered to return those weapons. Imagine the logistical nightmare it was to find out who owned these. And the people that sought their weapons out did not have to show proof of ownership when they got them back.
Wow.
Go ahead.
A dark hour for sure, I think, in terms of constitutional rights in this country, to have the National Guard operating in a law enforcement role, seizing firearms, which I think violates the Constitution, in my opinion.
No, it absolutely does. It's fact.
And, you know, and then video came out of, you know, like the California Highway Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got a lot of friends that work in the California Highway Patrol, and I actually almost worked for the Highway Patrol. And so I've got a lot of respect for them for the most part as a department and for the guys that I know that work there. But, you know, there's a video of them seizing a firearm from an elderly woman forcibly.
Yep.
Not the finest hour for law enforcement.
No. And I want to talk about that. There's a very, very good point I want to bring up about that here. And let's go ahead and roll this news clip from Katrina.
That includes New Orleans, where today authorities stepped up their efforts to empty the city. Bob Woodruff is there again tonight with an extraordinary human drama unfolding. Bob?
That's true, Elizabeth, and good evening from New Orleans. Here, the police and the National Guard find themselves in a very difficult position tonight to try to carry out an order to force people from the city
without actually using force.
This is scary stuff.
Yeah.
Today in New Orleans, they got a lot tougher on the holdouts.
Police department at your home!
Not only the flooded areas, but New Orleans' driest and wealthiest neighborhoods, too.
Police department!
The police and National Guard going street by street, house to house.
We need to make sure, too, that whenever we knock on doors, people refuse to leave. We need to make note, call it in.
They say there are no orders to use force, just strong persuasion, sometimes entering open houses with guns drawn.
That's force.
Yeah. Instructions to disarm anyone inside.
You at gunpoint.
Guns will be taken.
Yeah, no one will be able to be armed. We will take all weapons. Sir.
That happened today in this wealthy neighborhood where homeowners had
armed themselves to protect their mansions. And that was the police commissioner or superintendent then.
Right.
Residents were handcuffed on the ground. In the end, police took their weapons but let them stay in their homes.
They were a little bit threatened because our weapons were bigger than their weapons.
Disgusting.
For many of the police
listen
and guard
to this
troops,
coming up.
It is an
listen
uncomfortable
to
job to do this in an American city. This guard unit occupied a church using it as a base camp.
Oh.
They had to leave a note because they could not get hold of the pastor to get permission.
It is such a violation of the Constitution.
Yeah, you just never expect to do this in your own country.
Chris Montgomery says he'd rather be in Iraq than patrolling American neighborhoods.
Walking up and down these streets, you don't want to think about the stuff that you're going to have to do. Somebody pops around the corner.
Let me shoot an American.
Yeah.
That right there.
That just sends chills up my spine. Let me read something. Amendment 3 of the United States Constitution. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. You talk about the amount of constitutional violations
right.
that occurred during Katrina is obscenely disturbing.
Well, the video that the NRA posted, so this one was from ABC News.
Yes.
The NRA has one posted where they show an old lady, I think she's in her 80s, she's confronted by 8 law enforcement officers. And I'm sorry, that's force. When you got 8 law enforcement
yep.
officers at your front door. So she explains, I have all this food. I have all this water. I don't want to leave. I don't want to go to the Superdome. And they force their way into the house. They tackle her.
Yep.
They injure her. They take her weapon, and they force her out of her home.
Yep. That was just disgusting. You know what really disturbs me more than anything about this video is you listen to these young National Guardsmen, these 18, 19-year-old kids who acknowledge that they are disturbed by what they're doing. They acknowledge that they're acting against the better interest of U.S. citizens.
Right.
These guys are oath keepers. But guess what? They're following orders. I'm speechless. And you don't think this won't happen again in America?
I think it will. And then the other thing is, you know, how many times on forums or Facebook do we see guys, they're not going to take my weapons. They're going to get the business end of my firearm. And you know what? 90%, 95%, 99% of gun owners, they're going to go willingly.
What scares me.
I really think they will.
We want to have faith in our oath keepers. We want to have faith in the honor and the integrity of our National Guard, of our federal troops, God forbid should they ever be used on American soil, and in our law enforcement officers, men and women included. And watching this video and watching the deliberate, blatant, and uncaring violation of these citizens' basic constitutional
yeah.
rights, just, I tell you, I am disturbed to the core watching this.
Can you, I think sometimes we fall into this trap of that happened over there, it can't happen here. What would happen if there was a massive earthquake here in Reno, which is entirely possible?
Entirely possible.
And let's say your house is fine and you've got plenty of food, you've got plenty of water, you know, you are armed, you are ready to defend your family. There's no reason why you should then have to go to a high school gymnasium or the Reno Event Center or wherever they have set
yep.
up as a quote-unquote refugee camp. Can you imagine a California highway patrolman or a Utah highway patrolman who's come here to assist forcing their way into your house and demanding your firearms? I can't even fathom that.
And I'm telling you, this was during the Bush administration when we didn't have the issues and the blowback that we have right now against the Obama administration. How many people do you think now in 2015, 16, 17, 18 are going to stand by and do this? and put up with this kind of a blatant violation. There are so many angry Americans right now, and I say angry armed Americans, that are just, they're almost waiting for something like this to happen just so they can make their stand. I'm telling you what, if this happens in our lifetime again, under this administration or post this administration, it could be the spark. I'm telling you, it's going to be a bloodbath. National Guardsmen will lose their lives. Law enforcement officers will lose their lives. And I'll tell you what, I cannot imagine having to pull a trigger on one of my brother law enforcement officers or one of my brother soldiers. But I'm not leaving my house. And you're not coming in. And you are not taking my firearms. I'm just one guy. How many other guys have that same? How many other men and women in this state, forget this country, feel the same way?
I would hope, I would pray that if that were to happen here in Reno, that the people that would respond would understand the oath that they took to defend and uphold the Constitution.
I pray to God that they do. But you know what? You've got these 18, 19-year-old PFCs and young airmen, that just, okay, I'll follow orders. And hopefully, I pray that we have senior NCOs, that we have NCOs in position of leadership in the military. We have sergeants on the street in law enforcement that are wise enough and honorable enough to honor their oath. And that especially the sheriffs. The sheriffs have so much constitutional authority. I pray that their wiser heads are going to prevail. And with that, we're going to be back.
We got heavy.
Yeah, I'm disturbed. With that, we're going to be back right after the break. KNews 173, Armed Nevada Radio with Ben and Gary. All right, we're back with Armed Nevada Radio. You're listening to Ben and Gary. Boston PD, for a few years now, has had their own gun buyback program. Okay.
Yep.
Maybe a couple. Have you heard about this?
I did, yeah.
I'll give you a couple statistics for those of you that aren't aware of what happened. 2014, Boston PD collected 410 guns. They took 410 guns off the street. Whoopee. Yay.
Right.
Good for you. Of those 410 guns they took off the street, in exchange they gave people these $100 or $200 gift cards. You get, $200 gift card to Kohl's or something.
Right.
Not a single one of them was a crime gun or a gun used in a documented crime. Not one.
So they took in 410 guns.
Yes.
Not a single one had been involved in a crime.
Not a single gun had been involved in a crime. And of those 410
well
guns...
Well done, Boston Police.
Well done. Well played. Of those 410 guns they took in, the vast majority of them were junk, inoperable pieces of garbage that folks could not take to the pawn shop.
So the vast majority of the 410 guns they took in could never have been used in a violent crime because they were inoperable or not unless you beat
somebody to death with it or poked them in the eye. They could never have hurt anybody. They were inoperable firearms. So let's fast forward now. We're going to jump in our time machine. Let's go forward to 2015. Ben, how many guns do you think Boston – do you know the answer to this, right?
I do, yeah.
All right. How many guns do you think Boston PD took in 2015? You ready for this?
I'm ready.
One. One firearm was taken in the entire year.
And how much money – I can only imagine how much money has been devoted to this program and how many politicians have stood in front of the table of 410 guns saying, look how many guns we've taken off the street.
And they continue to fund it. They've funded it through 2016. They turned in one gun, and that gun was also a junk, inoperable piece of garbage. So they asked officials, why? Hey, look, you took in 410 guns in 2015. You took one in this year. Why? Officials go, I don't know. We have no explanation. And here's the funny part. Enterprising individuals, those with, that played with Erector sets when they were kids,
right,
have started building Zip guns. If you don't know what a Zip gun is, shooters, a Zip gun is a homemade firearm capable of firing a bullet.
It's like a pipe and a nail.
It's like a pipe and a nail and a rubber band or a spring, right? It's capable of firing a bullet. So they've manufactured these garbage Zip guns. They've taken them to Boston's gun buyback program, turned them in for gift cards that are probably 50 times more in value than the cost of the scrap it costs to build the damn gun. Then they're going out and buying guns and ammo, real guns and ammo, with the gift card.
So you and I could build junk guns to pay off our credit cards?
We could. Isn't capitalism grand?
It is awesome.
Isn't that a great idea? That's what people are doing. These buyback programs are a joke.
They are.
They are a joke. And here's what happens to buyback programs, too. They advertise these programs in advance, right?
Yep.
So what are these folks doing? They're going to the buyback programs. They're standing there with cash in their hand, walking up and down the line going, hey.
Looking for good guns.
You're getting a $100 gift card for that?
I'll give you
200 for it.
And sometimes they're really good firearms.
Sometimes
like
they
collectibles.
Are.
Collectibles.
Yeah.
That is
so, well, capitalism at its finest,
right?
Working right there.
Well, let's talk about something I think that's – we got heavy the last segment, and we're probably going to get a little bit heavier this segment.
Mm-hmm.
So something really tragic happened this week, and I don't want anyone to think that some of the things we're going to talk about is belittling or minimizing the tragedy, because it's a tragedy. A reporter and a cameraman lost their life to a – we'll call him. I'm going to start off with saying he's a disgruntled employee, but it's more than that. It's more than
much
that.
More.
The guy was a hateful, racist, bigoted person.
Yep.
And he was sick. He was a psychopath.
Oh, he was.
He videotapes himself shooting these people. He rants on social media before he does it. And so, unfortunately, the whole thing is captured on air. And I say unfortunately because...
So it was during a live broadcast.
Right. And I say unfortunately because, you know, nobody wants the death of their loved ones to be broadcast on television.
Or colleagues.
And, yep. You know, and it's a depraved criminal act. It's you know, the taking of a human life. So I don't want anyone to think we're belittling this. But at the same time, from a training perspective, you know, there is a lot to be learned from the video that was put out.
And there is.
And a couple of websites, one of them that, you know, you and I have talked about before, Active Self-Protection. I really like their page on Facebook.
Yep.
He breaks down self-defense shootings. He shows us how violent, how quickly things happen. And this video is no exception. And he shared it. He got a lot of hate from people for sharing it.
He did. And I'll tell you what. I was one of the people that shared it. And I put this video on my Trinity Tactical Facebook page. And I put a disclaimer up that said, look, I am not sharing this to glorify violence. I'm not sharing this to give this animal any
notoriety.
Recognition
right.
or notoriety. I'm sharing this because if you watch it, this is an absolutely beneficial lesson. If anything can be taken from this, we can learn about our own situational awareness or lack thereof.
Right.
If you watch this video, and it's a horrific video to watch, and I don't demand that anybody watch it. It's a hard thing to watch. He GoPros the entire thing. He
yep.
videos himself. And
yep.
he walks up. He's on the boardwalk. Now, the cameraman, I give him a credit. I give him a little bit of break for this because his back is turned. He's got audio phones on. He's focused through his camera.
Right.
And you know what it's like when you're behind a lens.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You're not looking at anything else.
No. Well, you're paying attention to all the settings on your camera. You're making sure you're framing it right. So I've been that's why I usually take a spotter with me
mm-hmm.
when I go out and shoot on location because I need somebody watching my back.
Well, this gunman walks up on the boardwalk, and you can hear him as
right.
he's walking up. He's not quiet about it.
Right.
Gets within 6 feet.
And the gun's out.
And the gun is out. And you see the gun at full extension.
Right.
Gets within 6 feet. Nobody sees him.
And then
right there.
And then he pulls it back
in. He pulls the gun back. He kind of steps back a little bit, then walks up again, and then holds the gun straight out for a good couple of seconds and then opens fire. Nobody
saw him.
Yep. And the reporter was struck several times. She still flees and then dies very shortly thereafter. The cameraman was killed almost instantly, and the woman they were interviewing, this commissioner, building commissioner, was shot and seriously wounded.
Well, so the takeaways are, I can't tell you how many times. I mean, we talked about this last night with one of the models. Nobody is responsible for your safety except for you.
Mm-hmm.
And police are always minutes away. I mean, this thing went down even though...
1 second count.
Even though he delayed. I mean, this thing was over in, what, 20 seconds max?
Well, it was over fast enough that he was able to get back to his car and flee.
And
before police even came on scene.
And this was part of my awakening when I became a gun owner is that... Nobody's looking out for you except for you.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's looking out for your kids except for you. And you know, and that's why we talk about having your head buried in your phone. You're not paying attention. I mean, this is the lesson to be learned is that things happen quickly.
They do.
And the cops won't be there for the most part or most likely. And the thing we learned from this is you got to, like, be paying attention.
You know, one of the things to take away from this, too, is had they been aware had they been more aware, keenly aware of what was going on, would that have saved them? No. I mean, this situation, they were in such a location that it happened so quickly. Even if they had seen him, there was no place to go.
Right.
He'd have chased them down and gotten them. But still, you need to be aware.
But you and I always say, I would rather go out in a pool of my own blood fighting,
yes,
than being caught off guard or surrendering.
Well, and that's the thing, because gunmen don't expect you to fight back. They expect you to stand there and freeze or flee.
That's the train incident with the terrorist in France, you know, with our off-duty Marines.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, heroes, right?
Heroes.
Saved countless lives.
Americans liberating France since 1918. Thank you very much. You're welcome, France.
But it just, I guess that highlights the importance of needing to be aware of your surroundings.
It does. One other thing I want to say about this, too, before we run out of time. There's a Channel 2 news weather lady. Everybody knows who she is. You can look it up. And she posted on her Facebook page, you know, please, if you're sharing this video, take it down. It's horrific to watch, and on and on and on. I thought to myself, okay, on one hand, I empathize with your pain because you've lost a colleague, and I get it that you're taking it very hard right now that could happen to you. I know this. I felt the same thing when Deputy Howell was killed last week. But you know what? Does that mean you're going to quit taking down videos of law enforcement officers getting killed in the line of duty, or are you going to keep broadcasting them, or are you going to keep talking about that? You know what? What I want to tell this reporter is, listen, you know what? Evil exists in this world. Pretending it's not there, turning away because it's too difficult to look at,
right,
isn't going to make it go away. It's still there. You need to see it. You need to face it, and you need to do something about it.
And it's not like those of us, yourself and Active Self-Protection's page, we weren't posting it for the purpose of glorifying violence.
Oh, absolutely not.
There were disclaimers on it that, one, it's graphic. Two, we're posting it so that you can learn and see how fast things like this happen.
Yeah. It's horrific. I did end up taking the video down because I do respect this reporter, and I understand what she's going through. All right, look, we got one more segment to go.
We do.
We're going to cut to a break real quick. When we come back, Ben's going to intro some absolute lunacy from the Washington, D.C. police chief. We're going to talk about that and lose our minds before we close the show out. You're listening to Ben and Gary on Armed Nevada Radio, 107.3 FM, KNews.
All right, welcome back to Armed Nevada Radio. This is Gary and Ben on 107.3 KNews. So real quick, before we shift gears, I just want to touch on a couple of things from this newscaster shooting. One, the shooter passed a background check. And no sooner did this shooting happen than people were calling for universal background checks. Background checks are not perfect. There's been no qualitative or quantitative data that's been able to demonstrate that background checks have prevented crime.
No.
So that's my one point. The next one is mental health. Okay. There's this cognitive dissonance among Democrats or liberals this week that has just been driving me crazy. So liberals in the 80s led the march to disband and open up mental hospitals and to make the bar so high on mental health commitments that hardly anybody's committed. And treatment is out of reach for most people that have mental health issues. You know, you look at what have we spent, Sean, $1 trillion on Obamacare over the last few years. And has mental health treatment gotten any better in this country?
No.
Absolutely.
It's probably gotten worse.
I would argue that it's gotten worse. Okay. And so you've got Democrats that are minimizing mental health, that are making it difficult for people to get treatment. The homeless population is exploding, I think, because of mental health. And then they want to march out that we have a gun violence problem, and they want to make it so that they want mental health people protected from getting treatment. But then at the same time, they want mental health to be this huge impediment to getting firearms. So it's like they're not making any sense this week.
I don't know what the easy solution is. You're right. You're absolutely right. It's not a gun problem. It's a mental health issue. We do have a mental health crisis in this country. And as long as HIPAA continues to protect patient-doctor privilege, we're going to continue to see this. If it's not a gun, it's going to be a hammer or a pointy
knife,
stick or a screwdriver or a brick. Look at China. Nobody in China owns guns. Do they have mass shootings? No. You know what they have?
Mass knife attacks.
Knifings, mass stabbings.
Right. So that part just drives me crazy. And, yeah. You know, and the thing is, like, remember the Charleston church shooter? That was a mm-hmm. racist incident that led to the cultural annihilation of anything Confederate.
Why is not the Virginia incident just recent with the two reporters? Why is that not a racist issue?
It should be. The guy was a self-admitted racist.
Why is it not a gay activist issue?
Why are
we not banning the gay flag? Why are we not banning the Black
Panther
flag?
Obama gets up this week and he says how disappointed he is in the U.S. And, you know, this is a gun violence issue. We need more gun control. No, this is a heart issue. This person was hateful, and he hated the people that he was shooting, and he hated what was standing right in front of him. It wasn't a gun issue. It's a heart issue, and it's a moral corruption issue. Anyways,
it's just, it's sad. I don't know what the easy answer is.
There isn't
background
one.
Checks surely isn't going to do it. We have background checks already. It's not a perfect system. I get that. I admit that. I don't know. I don't know what the solution is.
So
honestly, you know what? I don't think there's going to be a solution.
There isn't. No. Because we don't have the political or moral fortitude to push through
this
for a real solution.
This is a moral issue, and you cannot legislate morality.
And it's become a political issue. And I'm sorry that, you know, when you have got liberals lined up that the second the shooting happens, before we have all the details, that are calling for gun control, that's a problem. All right. Let's go to this video, Sean. I would laugh. I would say this is hilarious if it didn't impact so many people in the D.C. metro area. Ugh. Okay, so let me set this up. This is the Washington, D.C. police chief, and she's crazy. I don't know how she got the job that she has.
She looks like a female Gandalf without the beard.
Well, listen. She's crazy. Listen to the audio on this.
Chief, what data are you using to determine high-capacity magazines? You referred to them several times.
So I'm talking about 100-round drum magazines.
What?
That would be high-capacity.
Yeah, but what are you using with data?
Well, 100-round drum magazines.
Wait for it.
How many have you found of those?
Extended clips that are designed to enhance the normal capacity of a firearm.
How many of those have you found?
So high-capacity magazines are magazines that are designed to enhance the normal capacity of a firearm.
Well, in D.C., they're over 10 rounds is high capacity, but your department doesn't trace high capacity or doesn't trace what kind of guns magazine size has. So I'm asking, when you say it's high capacity, where are you getting that information?
From the guns that we recover.
Oh, my God.
Wait. I thought there was a little bit more to that clip.
She has no flipping idea what she's talking about.
The news conference goes on to say, like, how many of you recovered, and she can't answer the question. So, like, talk about, like, we went around in circles in that audio clip, did we not?
Let me ask you a question. What is a normal what is a normal capacity of an AR-15?
30 rounds.
20 rounds? Do they make 60-round magazines?
Well, they make 60. They make 50. I've seen PMAG 40, PMAG 30.
Capacity is what capacity is.
Right.
What do you mean normal capacity?
Well,
that makes no sense.
If you were to say normal, with the exception of New York, Colorado, and California, so what is that, the other 47 states in this? And then maybe Hawaii, I think, has a magazine capacity limit. So what does that leave us with, 46 other states?
Uh-huh.
30 rounds is pretty much the standard for an AR-15. That's what normal is for 46 states out of 50, right?
Why? Okay. How many 100-round drums have you seen at the range?
In our classes? None.
Yeah. Okay. How many 100-round drums have you seen at Shields?
None.
Cabela's?
None.
You got to order them online, right?
Right.
Well, I'll tell you what. 100-round drums are about as rare as hen's teeth. People aren't, you know, you've got...
Well, because you have functionality problems with them, too.
Well, you do. I mean, they look cool.
Well, but
I guess that's about it, but this...
How naive, though, is this lady? She is ridiculous.
She's an idiot.
And...
Why is this woman in law enforcement?
A good question. Well, and then you look at, like, our firearms, right? So, like, the one I'm carrying right now from Walther, 15-round magazine. The factory also makes a 17-round magazine. Those are the normal... That's what the gun is sold with in just about every state that the gun is sold.
So if I'm an active shooter and I have a Glock 17 And the normal ammunition capacity of a Glock 17 is?
17 rounds.
17 rounds. If I have a Glock 17 and I have 10 17-round magazines, how much damage am I going to do? A ton.
You and I can change a magazine. It's ridiculous. Well, actually, so the newscaster shooting highlights an important point about magazines, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we saw, and I hate to dwell on this, but you saw that reporter was shot three times.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't go down like a video game, right?
No.
And I think that's like...
No, she turned and ran.
The gun naive think that it's like one bullet, one kill. But the thing is like if you flip the tables, if you're a bad guy, if that was... shot, I could shoot that person in my house three times and they could still run. They could still potentially come at me.
Yep. Oh, they will. Unless you score a spine or a headshot.
Right.
He's going to continue to fight.
So to limit people to 10 rounds for a defensive firearm, I think is ridiculous because it limits our ability to stop the bad guy. But then you flip it around and a bad guy can reload just as fast as, you know, if he's come prepared. We're talking action reaction type of thing. I don't know.
Well, you know, laws are for the law abiding. You know, we talked about this, you know, last week or the week before about, you know, the Los Angeles mandatory magazine confiscation.
Right.
And we talked about, you know, Broadway Crips are going to be lining up in droves to turn their magazines in, I'm sure.
It's weird. I haven't seen any headlines that they have.
They're not going to. Are you kidding me? Turning magazines. You're out of your mind.
So there's another interesting article, and this touches on something that you and I have talked about on this show. So it was this is coming from the Las Vegas Review Journal. So
yeah.
Nevada police panel urged to pursue rogue firearm teachers.
My feelings are hurt. I got to tell you, I read this
yeah.
morning.
Yeah.
This was a panel held here locally.
Carson City, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's instructors in here who I read were quoted in this article. I'm like, when did this memo come out? I would love to have been there for that.
Well,
I heard nothing about it until I read it.
I knew it was coming up. I just didn't know what exact date it was. But
I feel a little hurt that I didn't get to get in on this.
I think you and I would agree that if we're going to have this stupid permitting process that we have in this state mm-hmm. where people have to shoot and go through instruction in the classroom and on the range, it needs to be instruction. If we're going to have that rule or have those laws, then we need to do it for real, right?
For real, yes.
That we need to be holding instructors accountable to maintain those standards.
And I think with this coming to the forefront, I think they are. There is a point in that article, and it's up on our Facebook page, I believe, because I think I shared it this morning. There's a point they make where one instructor in Washoe County was revoked, and they will not reinstate him, and one in Carson City.
Good.
I would love to know who those were.
There needs to be more. I think more people should either have revoked or suspended.
Yep. And I would love to be able to see the names on the air.
As a community, we need to hold these people accountable.
We do. Well, what a good show today?
Yeah, always a good show.
It is always a good show. The best shows are when we don't prep.
That's right. And this is almost my favorite hour of the whole week is spending time with you.
It is my favorite hour. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to be back next week. Until then, listen, stay armed, stay safe, and stay trained. Ben, take us out of here.
And go to our Facebook page and check out all the fun stuff we've talked about today.
Vote for my calendar picture. Bye.